You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Cities across Iran have erupted in protests following the death of 22-year-old Kurdish woman Mahsa Amini 2 weeks ago. Amini was arrested by the so-called morality police in Tehran for allegedly breaching the country's strict modesty laws that require women to wear a hijab. Authorities claim Amini died of heart failure after she was taken into custody to be, quote, educated. However, her family claims she was beaten and tortured before falling into a three-day coma and eventually succumbing to her injuries. Iran Human Rights said it had recorded the deaths of 76 protesters across 14 provinces as of Monday, including 6 women and 4 children, although it warned that restrictions on the internet placed by the Iranian government were causing delays in reporting. Dr. Farooq Amin is the founder of Iranian Women in New Zealand, and I spoke to her this morning, first asking about the last time Iran saw protests on this scale and scope.
So the last time we had such a mass protest in Iran was just 3 years ago in 2019, and we call it Bloody November, or in Farsi we say Abane Khunin. It was a time when, it started by the increase in the fuel prices. So something about 200% sharp increase in the price of fuel, and it just caused people to come to the streets. And it started in Tehran, but within few hours, it spread to other cities in Iran. And actually, it was the most violent and severe anti-government uprising in Iran since 1979.
And we've seen that the regime has blocked social media platforms and shut down some parts of the internet. How does this impact the movement?
Oh, yes. The regime has shut down the internet to block the flow of information about protests, deaths and violence that are happening in Iran, and also to prevent communication among the protesters themselves. Because, you know, protesters use social media as a platform for sharing information about where and when the next protest is going to be or what's happening in different areas of the city. So it can emotionally, I think, impact the protesters. Because just imagine if the police, the regime can crush, you know, the protest in one area and make people, you know, go back home. And they are at home, they have no access to internet, they don't know what's happening in other parts of the country or the world. So they may just feel like, oh, everything has finished and no one is going to continue this protest. So that's the strategy that they have been using now and also in 2019. It's been a way, because in 2019, what they did, they shut down the internet, and in 3 days, they killed 1,500 people because they used this darkness of information, you know, as a cover to carry on their savagery.
And what do Iranians broadly think about the so-called morality police? Are they respected?
I think it's obvious that they are not, you know, popular. So except a small, very conservative, you know, part of the society, no one is happy with them because they are a bunch of ultra-conservative, brutal people who are marching the streets, and you know they are imposing hijab on women. And if they see a woman who's not wearing this hijab according to their strict, you know, code, then they just arrest the person. They insult them, humiliate them, you know, imprison them, and threaten you. So you know, it's like something scary and terrifying. I've been talking about my own experience with, you know, this morality police in other interviews. And I can just telling you, it's really, you know, terrifying. You feel traumatized after, you know, having been arrested by these people.
And what I've found particularly interesting is that a lot of the protesters that are facing off with the police and making their voices heard are men. So is this more than just an issue that women are concerned with and fighting against? Do you think it could be about more than just the hijab?
Yes, of course. You know, this protest was triggered by death of a woman and then women's demand for their own dignity and for their basic human rights, because women are usually the ones who suffer more. But we should not forget that this is happening in Iran in a background, in a context of a regime that has been oppressing its people for 40 years, more than 40 years. So this protest is part of a bigger Iranian movement for democracy. And death of Mahsa, that's why it was quickly linked to other social and economic problems in Iran. So government corruption, inflation, unemployment, human rights abuses, all these issues. And the other thing is that the people who are in the streets protesting nowadays are mostly young people in their 20s. And this new generation is very different. You know, the men in this generation, they are more supportive of women. You know, they are protesting shoulder to shoulder, you know, with women, and they have more egalitarian views. So it shows a change in the society as well, you know, how the society sees women and women's rights.
And what do you think that this may mean for the future of the Islamic Republic? Do you think the Ayatollahs may be feeling threatened at this point?
Yes, definitely. They are threatened. They are scared because they are losing some of their own protesters as well, you know, part of the society that are like traditional religious, you know, groups in the society. And they have been, you know, supporting this regime. Now they are losing their faith, you know, in the regime. But the problem is that the regime has no way back, you know. What I think is that because this regime has tied its existence to its identity, to the fundamentalist religious ideology. So hijab is part of their identity, for example. If they give up on hijab, then they will be empty from inside. It won't be Islamic Republic anymore. So, yeah, this, you know, because it's not a government, you know, or a state that's for all people of the country. It's not based on the land, on the race, on the language, not on these things, but based on the very conservative Islamic ideology. And besides that, their problem is that they have destroyed this country, you know, the land, the water, the air, to the extent they have corrupted the country, to the extent that they know they won't have any place in this country if they surrender. So I think in this situation, the only way they see for themselves is going forward. And it makes the things very difficult because they are going to use whatever they have at their hands, you know, to crush the protest. And it makes it very difficult for us to fight back.
Do you think that the international community is doing enough in response to what's happening in Iran?
No, not at all, you know. When we talk about these responses, I should say there has been a global solidarity with what's happening in Iran, but it's been just at the individual level. People around the world, on the social media, artists, athletes, yeah, they have shown their solidarity, but not the government or human rights feminist groups and NGOs. So what's happening now is that you saw that the president of the regime went to the United Nations. So he was issued a visa to go to the U.S. He was welcomed to the United Nations. Macron of France shake hands with him. And all this was happening when in the Iran people were being killed by the violence of the regime. So even here in the New Zealand, it's you know, really, you know, disappointing that you are living in New Zealand. We see it as a feminist country. Our prime minister is a woman, but we haven't seen anything from the prime minister, you know, personally condemning these human rights breaches in Iran. So what they expect is that the government of the world, specifically the democratic countries, you know, acknowledge this crime against humanity that's happening in Iran and see some practical things to be done, like recalling their ambassadors, like what Germany did, so the only country that recalled its ambassador from Iran, or expel the regime ambassador here in New Zealand, just to show that we are caring for human rights in practice, not just in the word.
That was founder of Iranian Women in New Zealand, Dr. Farooq Amin, chatting to me about the protests throughout Iran following the death of a 22-year-old woman in police custody.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.